الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العزيز والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders, in one particular hadith, Muhammad bin Qasim rahmatullahi alayhi, who was the grandson of Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says that some of the sahabas came to see a sahabi whose eyesight had just gone and he lost his eyesight. They came to see him and console him, saying that not to worry, as people console each other. The reply he gave, subhanallah, he said, with this eyesight I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but once Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has left, then I do not need this eyesight anymore. And I do not want any eyesight which will see anything other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So much so that he says that if I was given the eyesight which was sharper than the eyesight of a deer of a particular place, he said, Dubala, the deers of that were very sharp, very far away, they can see if somebody's coming to attack them or something. Even if I was given the eyesight of those deers, then, and I cannot see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I would not want it. Whatever they were given, they used it for the benefit of deen, for the love of deen. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was because they had great love for deen. So he wished that he would not have the eyesight again, and he would do sabr on this. And they knew the hadith, إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُهُ بِحَبِيبَتَيْ ثُمَّ صَبَرَ أَوَّدْتُهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Hadith Qudsi, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if I test my servant with his beloved two eyes, بِحَبِيبَتَيْ, meaning that I take his two eyesight, I take his eyesight from both of his eyes, and ثُمَّ صَبَرَ, and he has patience and he bears that, أَوَّدْتُهُ الْجَنَّةِ, then I will replace, I will give that in the exchange of that Jannah, place in Jannah. For having patience and for having sabr upon losing this ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guarantee him a place in Jannah. So a person who's lost his eyesight, but he has patience over it, and he has sabr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed him a place in Jannah. This person is a Jannati. Just by having patience upon it, he will be guaranteed a place in Jannah. And this is why the Sahabas knew that. They knew that this world, whatever it contains, in reality has no value. The value is the hereafter. The value is what will be ever forever, which will never finish and never diminish. That has real value. And this world and whatever it contains and the beauty will one day finish, one day will diminish, either by his own death or by the coming of the hour. So whichever comes first, it will finish. So they understood that reality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never forsake or would not let anybody's effort go to waste. Even if they make effort in this world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward them in this world as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always telling us that, remember, your actions should be for the hereafter. Because that is the true virtue and that is the true reward. Reward which will never diminish and never finish. Yes, if you make effort in this world, you will get something. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيمٍ. Those who want the crops of this world, those who want the harvest of this world, they will get some, but they will not get anything from the hereafter. But those who want the harvest of the Akhirah will get that surely. And the Akhirah is what every Muslim should want. Once Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became upset with his wives, and he decided to stay away from his wives for some time and did not entertain any of his wives and decided to go away from them. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an went to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon entering his room, he saw such a room which had no vanity, which was void of any materialistic things. All he had was a bed mat which was made out of leaves of dates, and he had some couple of leather sheets. That's all he had. He was lying down on that mat, and he's on his back. He had the imprint of the mat on his back. Upon seeing that, Ibn Khattab, Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, was astonished. And he felt that this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leader of all the Muslims, the reason why the creation was created. And look at him, look at his state. He said, "Oh Rasulullah, look at the superpowers of that time. You had Rome and you had Faris. You had the Persian Empire and the Romans. Look at their kings living lavishly, great palace. They had so much, yet you have nothing. Why don't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at least to make it a bit more comfortable?" Upon hearing that, he replied to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, Afi hadha anta ibn Khattab? Are you in this thinking about this world? Are you wasting your time in thinking about this world? تِلْكَ قَوْمٌ عُجِّلَتْ لَهُمْ طَيِّبَاتُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They are such people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the, already for their efforts, the materialistic things of this world. For us, Akhirah has been reserved. This world and whatever it contains has no value. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافرا شربة ماء. That this world and whatever it contains, if it had the value of a wing of a mosquito, then he would not have given any non-Muslims even a drop of water. But this world and whatever it contains has no value. So whoever makes effort in this world, they will get it. But if we make effort on our deen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us in the hereafter. And that is what we have been created for. إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. And this world and whatever is contained has been created for you, but you have been created for the hereafter. So we always need to think about the hereafter. That one day we will leave this world and we will have to go there. One day we will leave this world and come into and have to give account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we have done. So whatever we do, we should be thinking that, is this conducive for my akhirah? Or will this have a negative impact on my akhirah? Otherwise, if we have too much love of this dunya, then my dear respected brothers and elders, this will then become the downfall of our ummah, of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةِ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the love of this world is the root of all evil. Today we see corruption. Why? How much deceit we see in this world? Lying, deceiting, taking rishwa, gambling, all this is the signs of too much love of this dunya. Why is it that sometimes we see husbands are killing their wives and wives are killing husbands for because of the love of dunya? How many times we hear about insurance cases, just to get the insurance, they kill their own partners. Why? Because of love of money. How many times we deceive our fellow brothers, our fellow human brothers? We deceive them. Why? Because love of wealth. How many times we lie to them in selling our products? Why? Because of love of the wealth, love of dunya. How many times we do all these wrong things? Why? It's because the love of dunya has become so great that it makes us blind of the reality of what is going to happen. So making effort in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let that effort go to waste. This is why the people in the West, the kuffar in the West, they are progressing so much in dunya. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let anybody's effort go to waste. So they do the right things. In this dunya they will get it, but they will get nothing in the hereafter. The Muslims are the true losers. Why? They make no effort in this world, they do not do the right thing in this world, and they do nothing for the hereafter. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. That these are the worst people. That they think they're doing good, but they get nothing. This is why the Muslims, whatever you see, because they're not honest in their dealings, they have corruption, so they do not get the fruits of this world. So they lose out here, and because their time is wasted in dunya, and they're not doing, they don't get anything in the hereafter. But here you see in the people in the West, the non-Muslims, they are truthful in their dealings. They will be polite. They will honor their timings. And we, when it comes to timing, we say 1 o'clock, we come at 2 o'clock. What happened? It's the normal. Oh, sorry, brother, 10 minutes. I was a bit late. 1 hour late, he said he calls it 10 minutes. This is how we deal. We're always trying to cut corners. Always trying to be deceitful. Muslims shouldn't be like that. We should be upholding the law in every respect. We should be guiding examples. We should be truthful in our dealings. We should be shining stars, for a beacon of light for everybody else. This is why the Sahabas, this is why our pious predecessors, wherever they went, what did they say? Kunu mithlana, become like us. And they saw the countries like Indonesia, the North African countries, they weren't Muslim countries. It was Muslim traders who went there. And when they saw that these people, how they lead their lives like human beings, not like animals. And when they saw that this is such a peaceful life, such a tranquil life, they were not deceitful, they were honest, never lied to each other. Whatever they kept a promise, they kept it. They did not go around chasing other people's women. They did not go and fornicate. They saw these are true human beings. And this is what people are crying out for. People want to see how Muslims should live their lives. And we become, instead of becoming a means of other people entering into fold of Islam, we become an obstacle, a barrier for other people to enter into Islam. Majority of the Sahaba that enter into Islam were due to the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not because he forced them to become Muslim. No. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. The Quran itself says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, that if you were such, that whatever you said was so harsh in your sayings, and in your dealing, your heart was so hardened, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, everybody would have run away from your company. But no, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was softly spoken. His heart was soft. His conduct was the best of all examples. We have so many examples of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking, and there was a woman, an old woman, who had picked up a bundle of sticks to take to her house for cooking and heating, etc. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this woman needed help. She asked him politely, "Please let me help you. I would like to carry this bundle of sticks to your house." She accepted his offer, and this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam carrying this bundle of sticks with this woman to her house. She started to say, "What a nice person you are. What a lovely person you are. I have no money, but the only thing I can repay you with is some advice." He said, "There's a person in Makkah who's claiming to be a prophet, but he, do not go near him, because he, whatever he says is like magic. He will take you away from your deen, from your path of your forefathers. So don't go near him." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reply to anything. But as soon as he reached to the house of the woman, He took the bundle of wood and dropped it in front of the house and said, "Can I say something?" She said, "Yes, what can you say?" He said, "The person whom you're complaining about and you're saying, it is me, that same person." And once she heard that, if that is true, then I bear witness that there's no deity except Allah, and you are the true prophet of Allah. Straight away she accepted Islam. Why? Because of the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today our conduct is so harsh, so bad, The people run away. They do not see the true light, the true beauty of Islam. Majority of the Muslims, majority of the new converts that are coming into the fold of Islam, they're coming because they're reading about it. Not because of our actions. When they see us, we're gambling away. See us taking drugs. See us chasing women. See us for deceiving other Muslims, deceiving other people in general. See us causing trouble in the society. These are not human beings. These are like animals. But when they read about Islam and they see that no, this is what Islam is all about, then they accept Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to Pakistan.